Good morning, everyone. My name is Vince, and I'm an American. I was born in the USA. I love our country. I served 20 years in the military. I'm a landowner. I'm a patriot. I love America. Our nation is a nation of freedom. Our nation is a nation of prosperity. Our nation is a nation of excess. Wait a minute. It was good right up till that excess thing. What do you mean? Well, some would say that it's the American dream, that success is equated with excess. Excess, more and more. We're a nation of excess. Let me read you a few examples. If you doubt that America is a nation of excess, 20 years ago, a standard cup of coffee was 8 ounces. Nowadays, most of us feel we don't get our money's worth if our cup doesn't hold at least 12 ounces. A venti at Starbucks is 20 ounces. A lot of restaurants have coffee cups, 32 ounces. That's 4 times the size of a coffee cup 20 years ago. Forbes magazine says this: at a time when half of us are just one paycheck away from financial devastation, we're spending more on luxuries. Everywhere there are signs of Americans' increasing taste for luxury. Luxury malls are thriving, where discount retailers like Sears and Kmart are closing down. More consumers are planning to purchase this year luxury automobiles. Tummy tuck requests have skyrocketed 86% since the year 2000. Average spenders, those who fall outside of the top 10% of spenders in America, are the ones fueling growth in all fashion categories and premium luxury spending. We live in a culture of excess. According to a 2007 paper published in the Journal of Public Health Policy, portion sizes offered by fast food chains are 2 to 5 times larger than when first introduced. For example, when McDonald's first started in 1955, its only hamburger weighed 1.6 ounces. Now their largest hamburger patty weighs 8 ounces. That's an increase of 500%. And I'm not even going to talk about bacon, okay? I'm just not even going to go there with bacon. Don't leave, Ronnie. In 1975, the average home built in the U.S. was 1,645 square feet. By 2008, that number had climbed to 2,521 square feet. That's an increase of 153%. By the way, during that time, families have gotten smaller and smaller as well. Speaking of homes, I did a quick search and found the 100 most expensive homes in Dallas. According to D Magazine, Diane Gibby and Rodney Rorick own a 20,854-square-foot home in Old Preston Hollow valued at $7.3 million. It has 6 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, 10 fireplaces, and 3 wet bars. Would you care to guess where their home falls on the list of the top 100 most expensive homes in Dallas? The very bottom. That's number 100. The top 50 homes on this list of 100 are each valued at over $10 million. At the top of the list, Cinda and Tom Hicks, 6-bedroom, 7-bath, 28,996-square-foot home with its 12 fireplaces sitting on 20 acres in Preston Hollow is valued at $37 million. We live in a land of overindulgence. If we could travel back in time 60 years and bring someone from the 1950s America to today, they would not believe the excess in our culture today. We live in it all the time. We've become blinded to it, but we live in a culture of excess. Is it the American dream? I don't think so. The Bible doesn't say so. Friends, we need to resist excess in our lives. We need moderation, not excess. It's getting out of hand. As we continue our sermon series this summer, Ancient Wisdom for Today's World, I want us to look at some ancient wisdom about excess in our lives. And I want us to answer this question. Why pursue moderation in a culture of excess? Our ancient wisdom this morning is found in the Proverbs. Proverbs. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the Proverbs, chapter 23. We're just looking at three verses in Proverbs 23, verses 19 through 21. The writer of the proverb is warning us of three clear dangers and overindulgence in our lives. He warns us that the pursuit of excess is contagious, the pursuit of excess is selfish, and the pursuit of excess will bring ruin. Let me read to you these three verses from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 through 21. I'm reading from the NET translation of the Bible. Listen, my child, and be wise, and guide your heart on the right way. Do not spend time among drunkards, among those who eat too much meat, because drunkards and gluttons become impoverished, and drowsiness clothes them with rags. In this proverb, this wise sage is telling us something that most of us as parents already know. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you associate with. Choose your friends carefully. Why? Because we know that peer influence is strong. We're not just saying don't spend time with these people that are bad. We're saying don't become bad. And if you associate with people like that, you're going to become like that. Our first danger this morning is the pursuit of excess is contagious. The proverb says, listen, my child. Some of your versions say, listen, my son. This is great advice for young folks. But I think it applies equally to all of us. Younger people, they're still forming their values. They're more easily influenced by negative people and negative things in their lives. But have you ever heard of the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? I think they're doing that over in Preston Hollow. And I think we might be doing that here too. The pursuit of excess is contagious. What's this proverb saying to us? In order to be wise, to guide your heart in the right way, don't run with the wrong crowd. In the proverb's case, it's drunkards and those who eat too much meat. Let's talk about that a little bit. In the time and culture of this ancient wisdom, consuming wine and meat, That was pleasurable. Try to imagine a world without the internet. Try to imagine a world without movie theaters. Imagine a world without television. Imagine a world without electricity. Where would you find your pleasures in that world? Well, in the writer of the Proverbs day, a lot of it was found in eating and drinking. Enjoying a fine meal, especially with friends, it was a high point in anyone's schedule. This was something to look forward to, something to be excited about. Friends, this is why feasts are held in such high regard in our Bibles. We look forward to good friends with meals even today. But when you choose the people you would eat with, the proverb says, be careful. Someone who drinks and eats in excess is not the kind of person you want to hang around with. Why not? They might be the life of the party. At the moment, that might be true, but in the long run, their attraction is going to fade. Excessive eating and drinking are symptoms of deeper problems, usually. And without a doubt, you become like the people you spend time with. What's so bad about someone who eats too much or drinks too much? Well, verse 21, drunkards and gluttons become impoverished, and drowsiness clothes them with rags. Think of the grogginess that follows after drinking too much, the sluggishness that comes after overeating. Productivity goes down. You lose your edge, your sharpness. Your value in the workplace declines when you overindulge in these things. Think about Thanksgiving afternoon after we've eaten too much. As a result of these symptoms, you will likely suffer physical poverty. Your money will go into this. But because of those deeper symptoms, I submit that you will suffer spiritual poverty as well. Over time, the person who is known for their overindulging in these pleasurable activities, they're shunned. They're viewed as pathetic. They're a joke. And then a vicious cycle begins where their habit for overdoing it numbs the pain from the rejection they feel because of their habit of overdoing it. Don't get trapped in that cycle. It's Proverbs telling us, don't associate with those who pursue excess. Be wise and guide your heart in the right way. The pursuit of excess is contagious. Stay away from those who overindulge, or you will be inclined to be like them. What about the heart of the person who overindulges in these things, the person who pursues excess in these pleasurable things? Our second danger in the proverb is the pursuit of excess is selfish. It's selfish. Wine and food, even expensive meat, is much more accessible to us today than it was during the day of the proverb. We have countless great meal options that the ancients had never dreamed of. Imagine the disbelief if you took one of these ancient biblical writers to today and you took them down to Restaurant Row, where there's Applebee's and Chili's and Cheddar's and Outback Steakhouse. They could have Mexican food, they could have Italian food, they could have Chinese food, they could have steak, and they don't have to kill the fatted calf. The steaks are cooking just the way you like them. It would blow their mind to come from that day into our present day and see how food is used in excess. The proverb says, don't spend time among drunkards, among those who eat too much meat. Unfortunately, drunkards are well known still today. Some things never change. A bit of alcohol, which can be truly enjoyed, is so easily abused. Judgment is affected. Wisdom is disrupted. Too much alcohol is taken in, and finally a drunk person will pass out, probably after making a fool of himself. How do I know all this? I was in the Navy. You ever heard the term a drunken sailor? Friends, I have seen this happen over and over and over again. Too much of a good thing quickly becomes a bad thing. What about people who eat too much meat in the proverb? What's the deal there? Am I talking about overweight people? No, not at all. I'm talking about people who wastefully stuff themselves with food because it gives them pleasure. They have no regard for the long-term effect of what they're doing. They live for the moment. And when there's a large quantity of delicious food in for them, they don't stop. They're not still hungry, but they don't want to stop. They don't mind squandering food that could be shared with others or saved for later. The pursuit of excess is selfish. Now, when I was a young man, my buddies and I used to go to this pizza place. It was near the base where we were stationed at, and they had an all-you-can-eat buffet. And man, we would go in there, and we would pay for the buffet, and we would eat and eat and eat. They would keep bringing out hot, fresh pizzas, and we would keep loading up our plates. And we would eat to the point, literally, of being in pain. We were comatose. They had to roll us out of there. Why? Well, it was tasty. It was good pizza. But we didn't need to eat that much pizza. We were wasteful. We didn't need that much. Our hearts are selfish. We experience some pleasure, and we selfishly want more and more and more. It feels good. Eating is a pleasurable thing. It can become so distorted in our present day because it's affected by image and perception and desire. We have diagnoses for eating disorders today: anorexia nervosa, bulimia, binge eating disorders. In the United States, 20 million women and 10 million men suffer from a clinically significant eating disorder at some time in their life. There is something wrong with eating to the point of excess, of being wasteful with good food. When people habitually drink too much or eat too much, this reveals something about their heart. The pursuit of excess, ultimately, it's selfish. Now, I have to turn a corner here. And in doing so, the few of you I have not already offended will become offended. In the ancient world, two primary sources of this self-gratification were drinking and eating. But in today's world, those two are joined by many, many more. You may be saying to yourself, I have no problem drinking in moderation, but perhaps you're addicted to the pleasures that come from watching excessive amounts of sports or cable TV or Netflix. You may say, I have no problem eating in moderation, but perhaps you overindulge in the thrill of computer gaming or working out or Pinterest. I don't think the writer of the proverb 3,000 years ago really knew about all these things. He didn't have any experience with those things, did he? Our culture today provides numerous avenues of self-gratification. We can allow them to dominate our lives. And I'm not just talking about drug abuse and alcoholism, pornography and gambling. Those are the big, ugly ones. I'm talking about the socially acceptable practices that bring us pleasure that we can so easily overdo. How much time do you spend each day on social media? Are you swept up in the delight of having others like your latest status update or tweet or selfie, to the point that you must continue to update them over and over and over again? Let me share a recent news story with you. Danny Bowman, 19 years old, spent 10 hours a day taking up to 200 pictures of himself on his iPhone. He dropped out of school. He didn't leave his house for 6 months. He was constantly trying to make himself look better for the camera. He became aggressive with his parents when they tried to stop him. Finally, in a drastic attempt to escape his obsession, Danny attempted a drug overdose. Now Danny is battling back towards a normal life after intensive hospital therapy to treat his technology addiction, OCD, and body dysmorphic disorder, an excessive anxiety about personal appearance. All fueled by the desire that comes from excess in social media. So half of you right now are very uncomfortable that I would bring up the process of taking selfies. And the other half of you are saying, what's a selfie? Well, smartphones, like this iPhone, they have cameras in them, and they have rear-facing cameras. So I have a camera I can take a picture out this way. I have a camera I can take a picture this way. And when I do rear-facing, it's a self-portrait, just like that. So I could take a selfie, like I'm going to right now. You guys are all in my selfie. You ready? Hey, preaching a sermon here. My forehead's kind of shiny. Can I redo that one? I'll post that on my Facebook page for you all, and I want you all to go and see it and like it, okay? No, wait, maybe you shouldn't, because then I might get that thrill, that gratification, and I'll want to do more and more and more selfies. Folks, this is a potential problem in our lives. Friends, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Snapchat, taking selfies occasionally, all these things, they're not bad. They're not bad. They're good. The problem is when we overindulge, when these things become an obsession for us, like they did the young man I read to you about, when we spend too much time doing them or thinking about them, that's a problem. That's excess. A line is crossed. We're pursuing excess because of even that little gratification, that little pleasure that we feel because someone liked something that we put on Facebook, or because the taste of that dessert is so good. Okay, I won't just pick on the Facebookers, the Instagrammers, the tweeters out there. I know there's a bunch, I don't even know what they are, probably. They come out new ones every day. I'll tell you my secret supreme distraction. I don't stay up late at night on Facebook or Instagram. I'm not on my phone all the time doing these kinds of things. But I do have something that gives me pleasure that I overdo. And you'd probably never guess it. But I'm going to tell you, this is serious. Online shopping. I'm serious. eBay, Craigslist, Amazon, Woot, Groupon. You guys know what I'm talking about. You might not admit it, but it's out there. And friends, there are deals to be had out there. All right? I'm talking about brand name stuff slashed. It's a problem for me. Dave Ramsey says the condition is called stuffitis. I like stuff. The term I'm not as comfortable with is materialism. It can get a hold on my heart too easily. Now, I know what you're thinking. Does Vince have a lot of stuff? No, it's not the stuff, it's my heart. I desire the hunt for stuff. I like to study the brands and the models. I look at users' reviews of them. I'm overanalyzing and comparing these things. And then I might pull the trigger and buy something. There's a problem when I spend too much time doing that. When I'm not practicing moderation in that, that's excess. And I have to be careful of that. It's the shopaholic of the online age. You don't even have to leave your home. I don't have a lot of stuff, just like an overeater might not be overweight. But it's the condition of our heart we must guard. Guide your heart on the right way, the proverb tells us. You may think, well, surely some things can be done in excess. Some things are okay to do in excess. One that comes to mind is exercise. It's okay to exercise in excess, right? Now, I'm a proponent of maintaining good health through physical fitness and exercise. But even that can be overdone. Perhaps you've heard of a fitness organization called CrossFit. How many people have heard of CrossFit? Okay, it's becoming very popular. It's a cool name, but no, it has nothing to do with the cross of Christ. CrossFit. Let me read you some information about CrossFit. CrossFit is a system of punishing exercises built on a platform of peer pressure. In fact, the communal aspect of CrossFit is a key component of why it's so effective. The CrossFit culture is one of pushing your body to the point of near exhaustion. Exercisers regularly urge fellow CrossFit members beyond the point they want to go. The physical exercise in excess has led many CrossFit participants to being diagnosed with a condition called rhabdomyolysis. It's a serious and potentially fatal condition. resulting from the catastrophic breakdown of muscle cells. It can result in kidney failure. It can be fatal. The pursuit of excess is contagious, and the pursuit of excess is selfish. Be wise and guide your heart along the right way, the proverb tells us. The pursuit of excess is contagious. The pursuit of excess is selfish. Let's take a look at the third danger in this proverb now. In the life of the person who pursues excess, the pursuit of excess leads to ruin. Leads to ruin. In the long run, the pursuit of excess leads to ruin. Verse 21 says, drunkards and gluttons become impoverished, and drowsiness clothes them with rags. Our excessive eating and drinking has led to unprecedented numbers of health problems. High cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure, eating disorders, obesity. These things are skyrocketing in America today. Divorce cases are running rampant, and many divorce petitions cite Facebook as a contributing factor for their filing for divorce. Quality time spent between parents and children is being eroded by these supreme distractions. They're available to us like they've never been before. We can overdo it more easily than we ever could before. Marriage rates are dropping. Folks, I am concerned for the impact that this is having on our culture. In America, freedom, prosperity, excess. I'm guessing everyone here likely has some area in which they pursue excess. I don't know what your thing is. But as Christians, we're not immune to the pull to pursue excess in our lives. What can we do? Well, ask your spouse or your parent or a close friend if they see an area in your life where they think maybe you're pursuing excess. Maybe it's got a hold on you and you might not see it. Ask someone close to you. Friends, this could be your work. This could be your hobby. This could be your ministry. Excess in our lives. I think we need to be reminded that God is the provider of every good thing. And the things I've talked about, not the drug abuse and that stuff, but the things that I've talked about, they're good things. We should thank God for these things. We thank God for good food. We thank God for technology and the way it allows us to be connected to each other and be involved in each other's lives. But too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. To pursue excess in these good things for our own selfish pleasure, that's to squander, to be wasteful, to overindulge. It disregards the provider, the one who provides all good things. Thank God for the good things we have in lives. But we need help in how we pursue them. Try taking a break from something that you might be doing in excess. Can you fast a week from Facebook? Can you skip a week of Starbucks? Can you take a break from Minecraft or Call of Duty or Guild Wars or whatever the latest computer games are? Can you take some time off of Twitter? Can you reduce your time at the gym? Can I stay away from online shopping sites? If you can give it up for a week with no symptoms of withdrawals, then you're probably okay. But if not, then maybe you need to prayerfully consider the priority that that pleasurable thing has in your life. As Christians, we should be models not of excess, but of moderation. We're not talking about bad things. We're talking about good things, but too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. How much time are you spending on a good thing? 2 Corinthians 5:10, We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, both good and bad. John Piper wrote, and yes, he put it on his Facebook page, "One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time." Ouch. Wait, the Lord sees how much we post on social media? Yep. He knows how many hours I need or I spend needlessly pursuing my pastimes? My friends, be wise. Guide your heart in the right way. Be careful who you associate with. The pursuit of excess is contagious. Examine how you spend your time and your money. Is it on bringing some small pleasures to yourself or to others? The pursuit of excess is selfish. Do you find yourself craving some of the things that I've talked about? Are they taking hold of your life? The pursuit of excess can lead you to ruin. Let me close with some words from a song called "American Dream," written by John Foreman of the rock band Switchfoot. Here's the first verse. "When success is equated with excess, the ambition for excess wrecks us. At the top of the mind becomes the bottom line when success is equated with excess." Going into the chorus, he says, "I want out of this machine. It doesn't feel like freedom. This ain't my American dream. I want to live and die for bigger things. I'm tired of fighting for just me. This ain't my American dream." I don't know what it is in your life. I might not be fully aware of what it is in my life, but I know it's out there and it's pulling on us. My friends, be wise and guide your heart on the right way. Remember that the pursuit of moderation is our goal. Moderation leads to contentment. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we embrace a threat in our lives in this culture. We are blessed, Lord. We have blessings upon blessings, and yet these things, they can pull us away from what's really important. We can be tempted to pursue excess in these good things in life. Father, I pray for all of us, help us to be cautious, to be wise, to guide our hearts in the right way so that when we're faced with these things, when we find ourselves being pulled in by some pleasurable thing and we cross that line of moderation to excess, that you would prompt us. You would help us to see it in others and prompt them to pursue moderation, not excess, so that our lives might be marked not by a selfish pursuit, but by moderation and worship to you. Lord, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit within us. Amen.